Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie, and it is a Wednesday in the 4 o'clock hour, so it is time for our Wednesdays with Weeds. Mark Wiedmer, columnist extraordinaire from the Chattanooga Times Free Press, covers a little bit of everything in his columns. Really, Weeds, NASCAR is the one thing you haven't touched over the years, correct? Have you ever written a NASCAR column?
I've written a NASCAR column this year about how well they adapted to COVID.
Nice. Okay. I stand corrected. Was that your first one?
It's pretty close.
All right. You have been doing this for a long, long time, so you are certainly fair to ask. We even had Wes Rucker on, and you've been going up to Knoxville longer than he has. Is Tennessee football at the lowest level of your time at the TFP? And when I say your time at the TFP, that goes back to early to mid-80s.
Oh, yeah. I remember the year they lost their first six. They won their last five. But, yeah, I mean, I can recall some pretty dark times in UT football. And I think this has the potential to be the worst moment in UT football.
And why do you say that?
Because I think they may have committed suicide on this whole Pruitt thing. I mean, I talked to a guy yesterday, David, who you know, I won't bring up who he is on the air, but he said, listen, most of the time in these kind of cases, the investigation's handled internally. They go to the NCAA behind closed doors. They agree to a certain number of allegations, but not all of them. And as long as it's kept private, a lot of this goes away. Well, with what happened on Dan Patrick's show yesterday, assuming that's true, they've lost that. And they've already come out and talked about the numerous level one and level two violations. I could see them getting a really harsh NCAA penalty. I'm talking about losses of quite a few scholarships. They'd be wise to just go ahead and drop going to a bowl next year. And then even after that, I don't know what happens here, but this is what the NCAA absolutely doesn't want to see is you admitting to paying players.
Well, you mentioned the Dan Patrick, and we still don't know how legitimate that is. One thing that is very legitimate, though, Mark, and I think would even be more concerning is the whole how quickly do you settle with Pruitt? Because, I mean, Pruitt came out with that, you know, through his attorney, came out with that statement Monday night, and you just don't want a whole lot of dirty laundry out there on top of what you're saying. I mean, if Tennessee has kind of done
exactly
its due diligence, you don't want Pruitt all of a sudden being UT enemy number one.
And I felt like really from the beginning when this story first broke during the Texas A&M game on television, I felt like they were in a rush to get rid of Pruitt apparently to avoid paying this $12 million. And let me tell you, if all this goes the wrong way against them, they're going to be out a whole lot more than $12 million. They would have been wise, I think, to just, in private, maybe keep Pruitt through next year with the understanding that if you go away quietly, we won't divulge any of this. Because now Pruitt is probably threatened with a show cause order of about 3 years. And let's say UT gets off the $12 million. They're still going to pay a heavy price for this.
All right, and of course, the news conference Monday with Plowman and Boyd and Fulmer. I mean, we know, and it's a weird situation.
Are they about to erect a statue of Fulmer, by the way?
That was interesting, some of the things that they, I mean, because Wes talked about it yesterday. I mean, his legacy is so complicated, but they sure did toss him flowers on Monday for sure. But it's a weird deal because it almost makes no sense to speculate on coaches right now because the athletic director hire has to occur first. And I think we talked about it earlier on the show. I think we all know Hugh Freeze is out just because of, I think Plowman used like integrity 12 times. And I know that Boyd has told the Knoxville News Sentinel that integrity and history of integrity will be a key criteria in this hire.
But winning the right way, David.
There you go.
Don't forget that.
But what about what athletic director out there do you think would be a good fit for Tennessee right now? Or who would be a good fit as athletic director?
Well, I'll tell you, when you read about Mark Ingram at UAB, and he played there, he was well-respected as both a player and a coach there, I think they could do worse than that. And he knows the culture. He certainly would know the boosters. He's always come across as a pretty clean operator. I could see him being a good fit there. And I would say this, I don't know that Mitch would still want that job, but early in his career, Mitch Barnhart's dream job was to return to UT as the AD. He'd started out there. That's where he kind of learned the profession. I think Mitch is probably pretty happy at Kentucky right now, but Mitch's career at Kentucky has been stellar. And I could see them going after him. But I think Mark Ingram makes a lot of sense for them.
All right, Mark, I'm going to throw you a curveball because sometimes I'll send you a couple of topics, but I didn't have this one on there. UTC moments ago was picked third in the Southern Conference preseason football poll behind Wofford and Furman. How do you think spring football at the FCS level will play out?
Probably not much different than it plays out in the fall level. I mean, I think there's some advantages to it. We're such a football-crazed country, and we've been going through so much that if they can pull this off where there can be a respectable number of fans in the stands, maybe there's some TV coverage there wouldn't have been otherwise, I think it can work a little bit. I don't think it could work long term, but I think there'll be enough changes in everything else football related that they may be able to pull this off this year. You know, there's a lot of concern on that level in terms of how are you stressing out their bodies by then returning to fall play next fall. I don't think anybody can answer that, although I've heard even Rusty Wright say, I wouldn't have wanted to do that. You know, your body needs some time to heal, and going through contact football in say, March and April, and then coming back in August, maybe putting too much strain on the body. But from an interest standpoint, I think it could work pretty well.
You're listening to Mark Wiedmer, Chattanooga Times Free Press columnist extraordinaire here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. All right, turning to your favorite hoops. Last night, I think, shocked everybody. The fact that I think Tennessee's only lead was 2-0. Florida goes on like an 11-3 run to counter it and just continues to pull away. And Tennessee was just not – I mean, they never got back into that game. I mean, they were out-rebounded by 11 in the first half. And, of course, Barnes just absolutely teed off on Pons and Fulkerson afterwards saying, where is our senior leadership? How stunned were you at just how listless Tennessee looked last night against a Florida team that we know was depleted?
Yeah, that was the one of the things that stunned me was, you know, Florida's playing down two or three players. And just absolutely took it to him. Like you said, from the opening tip, it was all Gators. And I really thought when Keon Johnson gets that dunk
right
at the start of the second half, I'm like, okay, they've woken up now. They're going to make this a game. They never really did. I mean, I don't think they ever – it was 7 as close as they got. I think Keon's dunk cut it to 9. I think somewhere in there they maybe got it to 7. And then – Florida spurted back out by 16 or 18, and it just kind of hung that way or got worse from there. They led by 30, I think. Didn't they lead 74-44 or something at one point?
Yeah, it was absolutely brutal. And you know, I know Jaden Springer's battling a nagging ankle injury right now, but it's almost like when Springer's not there, they take the court already waving the white flag.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, I think you asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago if I had to have a guy take one shot, and I said it'd be Victor Bailey. But it's beginning to look like Springer's their most valuable player.
Yeah, because, I mean, and Bailey, I mean, you do like Bailey's offense at times, but Barnes is too busy benching him, you know, sending him messages like that. So it's a interesting, and boy, Missouri Saturday becomes an interesting gauge, because that's the best Tennessee's looked all year. I think they jumped on Mizzou like 23-4 out there in late December. And
yeah, I think that's right. I remember turning that game on, and it was 23-6. So you're probably right. And Missouri's a good ball club.
All right, and what made last night even more interesting from a dynamic SEC dynamic standpoint is you've got Tennessee struggling with 49 points, and then, you know, Alabama and LSU tip off, and Alabama scores 60 in the first half alone. Mark, it seems like every week they look more and more like a team that could really pull this off, and I mean win the whole thing.
Well, I know the game's been over for a while, but have they missed a three yet?
That's just it. I mean, the Auburn game, you know, that Auburn game was really close over in Auburn, and Auburn benefited from Alabama being a little bit off except for Primo. I think Primo was really the only one that was canning them that day, but it seems like Alabama always has at least one and usually two guys that are hitting it, and, of course, last night it was everybody.
Yeah, they hit 23 threes on the night, and – I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And the other thing was, it's not like they were – I mean, I knew they shot a lot of them, but at one point, Petty 7 of 8. I think Primo hit his first 6 threes last night. I mean, I've never seen anybody do that. And if they can keep that up now, I mean, they could run the table in the league, theoretically.
Mm. Who's the third-best team in the SEC? Because I still think Tennessee's second. Who's third?
Well, I think you may find that out Saturday night when Missouri comes in there. I think Missouri could easily be the third best. Now, I would have told you LSU before last night.
Right. And Miss State
was
looking
good.
And Miss State just got shellacked at home by Ole Miss, just when Miss State was starting to look better.
Well, you know, I was talking to Wells before we went on the air, and I just think there's so many things about this COVID situation that just make every program up and down without reason. I mean, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know who's been out and who hadn't. Games get postponed. There's no rhythm to anything. And I think you look across college basketball, you've just seen so many eye-opening scores this winter that don't make any sense. But I just think nothing's the way it should normally be. Except, you know, like Alabama just, like, is untouchable. I kind of think there's something in the water down there with their athletic department.
What are they, 18-0 now in SEC games? I will say this, Mark. I brought this up with Lamont Paris yesterday, and you know me. I am a college football junkie. But college football right now is suffering from the same three or four teams. I mean, you see these preseason polls, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, you know, and then maybe Oklahoma, Georgia, Notre Dame in that next tier. I mean, just the stat this week alone, and I know you grew up a Kentucky guy, but, I mean, the fact that Kentucky, Duke, and UNC, the fact that none of them are ranked for the first time since 1961, I mean, you've just – college basketball is giving you more of a variety, and I think that's a plus, a huge plus.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I know Kentucky's 4-8. You got cats, dogs tonight. Who do you like in that one?
You know, until I watched KD Johnson against Auburn and then whoever they played over the weekend.
Ole Miss. Beat Ole Miss.
Beat Ole Miss. I would have thought, okay, Kentucky's finally going to, you know, have an easy one. But, my God, he's like another Sharif Cooper. And probably, to me, more disruptive on the defensive end. And I think this could be another tough night for the Cats.
All right, before we let you go, I mentioned that I talked to Lamont yesterday. What have you kind of made of their season? I mean, they got off to the great non-conference start. League play's been a little bit different. I mean, you talked about it. Maybe they're just your perfect reflection of a team that has experienced some ups and downs. The good news is that they've still got a nice 11-4 overall record.
Yeah, they've got a nice overall record, and up until the last loss, even the losses had been really good games. They played close. I don't know what to make of this season with them now. I mean, at first I thought getting Jean Baptiste back was probably a good thing, but I wonder kind of how this team's chemistry is internally right now. I was surprised when they lost by as much as they did the other day.
Mark, great stuff as always. Always appreciate your insight. Always appreciate your columns. Odds that you'll give on Will Healy getting the UT job?
Oh, I probably wouldn't bet my coffee maker on that.
Wells and I were talking. I was like, did you see Weeds' collar today? He's like, yeah. He goes, man, that would be fun, because it would be a little more difficult to get him on the show and to just get him to return your calls if he becomes Tennessee's coach, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I think I agree with you, but we'd probably have better access than we've had in years up there. So
that is true. Mark, great stuff. Thanks for all that you do, and we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. The legendary Weeds, Mark Weedmer, Chattanooga Times Free Press columnist extraordinaire, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the poll question here when Press Row continues on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.